Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Mets have an interesting schedule coming up, though, BT. Not just this week. They'll be back home after, by the way, a very successful road trip. Forget the Rockies, although they did what they had to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Take care of business against bad teams. Phillies did that. That's why they had a big lead. I think they were 7-0 against the Rockies on the year. Mets then returned serve and swept the Rockies 6-0 against Colorado on the year. Have a nice lead in the National League East. They'll return home and take on the Nationals here for three. Then they play the Rays this weekend. I might go out to that game Father's Day morning. I'm not sure yet. Father's Day should be a day where we just do whatever we want, right?
Different. That's what we do anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, you may have it better than most. And nah, no, that's not the case.
Yeah.
Although I did just come off a trip, you know, 4 days in Saratoga,
yeah,
or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But after the Rays, the Mets will go. Have you seen what Atlanta's been doing?
Yes. They're like, I mean, they're 13 out, last I checked.
You know, Evan does that bit with me, is the NL East over?
Uh-huh.
A couple weeks ago, or maybe it was early last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, I said the Braves are done. Since then, they have had crushing loss after crushing loss after crushing loss. They're toast, dude. They're closer to the Marlins than they are the Mets.
They might start trading pieces in another 2-3 weeks of bad baseball.
I mean, they are. So anyway, the Mets will go there
yep,
starting next Tuesday, the 17th. Three with Atlanta. Three in Philadelphia,
who's yeah,
in second
at
play,
it,
and they've lost 9 of 10.
Yep.
And then they come back home to take on the Braves for four.
For four.
So that is a nice stretch of 10 games, Braves-Phillies. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, I would like it too. You know, now it also represents a chance for those teams to get off the mat, particularly the Braves here, which, I don't know, I'm always so reluctant to write them off, but part of that has been, like, over the years, because I didn't really believe in the Mets incredibly, mm-hmm, you know, maybe as much as I needed to. And I'm getting to that point where it's just like the Braves just might not have it this year.
You think they're 10 games? Dude, they're 10 under, they're 14 back of the Mets.
It is mid-June. Yeah, yeah.
This is no Memorial Day 2022.
Yeah.
And even back then, the Mets weren't as good as the Mets are now.
Yeah.
And the Braves were better than the Braves are now.
I'm just saying wild card, not to dethrone the Mets for the East here. Maybe
I
get
think
that
the Braves
last
are toast.
They very well might be. I'm not saying that they're not. Yeah, but by the way, you know, it wasn't just the Mets' bad start a year ago. You know, the Nationals won the World Series. They started 19-31. It doesn't feel like that's where this is going. I would certainly establish and expect the Phillies to reestablish themselves before the Braves do. But yeah, the Braves are a team you just have respect for. Like, you just think they're going to find a way to get it done. And that's kind of a common mistake. Like, sometimes you got to just really embrace the evidence. And the evidence is they suck this year.
Yeah, I guess look, anything's possible to your point. We've learned it's a long season in baseball. I just feel like the math at this point, 10 over 14 games back with the way that the Mets are playing in front. I'm not saying the division is over. It's not. Philadelphia, I think, is good.
Mm-hmm.
But over this stretch of 10 games, after the Nationals and Rays this weekend, the Mets have a chance to really put the hammer down in the NL East with those teams.
So right now, if I asked you off the top of your head, how many games out do you think the Braves are of a wild card spot?
I mean, I have it up here. I don't see the exact wild card. I would guess, what, 7?
9.5.
Okay, I mean, that's a lot.
And
how many teams in front of them?
That's what I was counting. 2, 4, 6, 8 teams in front of them. Yeah.
8 teams? Now, that's it's not impossible,
no,
the wild card.
No.
But, I mean, 10 under on June, what is today, 9th?
June 9th. That's crazy.
10 under on June 9th, 14 back of the division.
Dude, all you have to know is they're behind the Nationals. That's really all that needs to be said at that point.
And within 2.5 of the freaking Marlins. Like, that is, right,
yeah,
how many
rough
teams are behind them? We talk about how many in front of them. You have the wild card standings up
I
there?
I do. There's only 3 teams behind them, one of whom is the Rockies. Rockies, Marlins, Pirates. That's it.
I mean, that is,
wow, that is embarrassing.
Anyway, those are the Mets played well against the Dodgers. I know the Rockies were the focal point because that happened most recently and they exploded there. But really, they should have won 3 out of 4 against LA. And even, you know, all right, they split 2-2. I don't look at, remember we had this conversation a week ago. And this was after the one game, I think, that the Mets won in LA. We might have had a Tuesday morning a week
okay
ago.
Go ahead.
And saying that the Mets have closed the gap.
Yeah.
I felt it then. I feel it even more now.
Yeah, you should.
I really believe the Mets are the best team in the National League.
They might be. You know, the thing that jumps out to me is they've got, now they very well might make a big trade. We talked about it. It came up two hours ago. Whether it's, you know, somebody with the Red Sox that they might go out for. They need an outfielder. And if they get one and it's the right guy and he fits in, and I don't mean like a Jesse Winker type of year, because I mean a step above that from years past.
A legit,
everyday,
like top three outfielder.
Yeah, bat him five, yeah. Bat him six, something like that. But they've also got two pitchers coming back, one of which I don't really believe in Frankie Montas, but that doesn't mean that he's going to be a complete stiff. I mean, Montas does strike out a lot of guys. So even if Manaea is not quite what he was a year ago, and he very well might be, but there's two potential massive upgrades coming. So
to a rotation that's got guys under three ERA, almost every one of
them. To a rotation that right now doesn't need an upgrade. So you've got it. I will say this, though. With baseball, maybe more than any other sport, when you think you have a surplus of whatever or a glaring deficiency of whatever, things can change quick. But right now, the Mets are humming. The Mets look like a terrific team.
And even if you look ahead and say, okay, well, what if certain things go wrong? It's not like everything's gone perfectly for them.
No.
They haven't had that. Soto didn't have a great start. Nimmo, Vientos. Like, think about
Alvarez got hurt and didn't play well.
So you still have the growth potential of Alvarez, of Mauricio making. Like, they're deep not only with the arms in that rotation or bullpen, also with the bats and the idea that you can make a trade or two that you really believe can be the finishing touches onto what should be a team that could go legitimately compete to win a World Series.
I was watching, matter of fact, I watched the Mets game when it was pretty much out of hand. I had about 2 hours before next game. So I'm like, all right, let me just get a little workout in here and put it on in the basement, whatever. So I'm watching the Mets there. Yanks obviously played at night. And I just saw the Mets toy with this pathetic Rockies team. I saw Beatty's home run. I saw Pete's bomb down the left field line. Did you see the play by Beatty coming in on the barehanded ball where it was it the eighth inning or maybe been one out in the ninth inning? Blackburn couldn't get anybody out.
Yeah.
That was like the one thing that his secondary stuff is atrocious right now. But Beatty really, you know, I'm very curious where the next month takes him. I really am, because he handles third base well. He fields well, and he's got some easy power when he connects. So
think about this.
Where are you on him?
Think about this. I like Beatty, and I want to see him get it wrong. But think about this. Between Beatty, McNeil, Mauricio, and Acuna, you don't even think about Vientos, which is insane to
you
say
don't.
That.
Yeah.
I know he's hurting you. He comes back, and look, DH is a thing too, but I feel good. I feel good about Beatty. I hope that he turns into an everyday, legitimate big leaguer. He doesn't need to be a star, just be a serviceable big leaguer. And I think we're getting there, defensively and offensively.
It's not inconceivable. Now, it also really doesn't work like this too often in baseball, but with younger players / prospects, it's not nuts to think in 2 to 3 years, I mean, heck, it could be this year or even next year, but I'm going to push it even more forward to make a point, that you've got Mauricio, you've got Beatty, you've got Vientos, you've got Alvarez. And then one of these other kids is in the minors now. Pick your poison.
Yeah,
one of the two. Gilbert, whomever it might be. I mean, like the fertile nature of the Mets system. They're younger players now. It's showing form. It's good.
There's only one thing that's bothering me this year as it pertains to the Mets.
That Soto's not hitting 250 yet.
No, that is bothering me. But the fact that he's been shuffling and looking happy, all that stuff, I'm fine with that. Uh-huh. Like, he's coming now, so that to me is put to bed. One thing outside of that, Pete Crow Armstrong. And I don't go back and be like, but this is such a, center fielders are such a premium.
Mm-hmm.
And to get one that is, dude, the guys, we talk about Pete Alonso being an MVP. Pete Crow Armstrong is going to be there competing with him for a freaking MVP.
Yeah.
A center fielder with that type of offensive production, he's a legit like gold glove center fielder and that great attitude. I don't regret the trade because in real time, hey, go for it. I respect going for it. They just made a mistake in how they evaluated Pete Crow Armstrong.
Yeah.
They should have given up the pitcher, Adams, I think it is, who had Tommy Johnson, whatever it may be. But, man, that it does bother me a little bit that they let a commodity like that go. Imagine having Pete Crow Armstrong in center field right now.
Well, then you wouldn't have to make a trade. But, again, if that's the biggest gripe, and I understand the gripe, then you're still in a pretty decent spot.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's just my one thing that bothers me a little bit. All right, BT, and they lost 2 out of 3 to the Yankees. There's a chance for redemption on that. Pete Crow is coming on July 4th.
I got you.
Part 2.
Uh-huh.
All right, BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019. The number to call. Matt is calling from Westchester. What's up, Matt?
What's up, boys? How we doing?
Good, Matt. How are you?
Hey, Matt.
Doing well. So I'm a diehard Mets fan, so I'm gonna poke a little fun at Sal, but we're on the same page here just because I was watching against the Yankees this weekend. Have you looked at how your boy...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Walker Buehler's doing in Boston, or
he got beat up
in San Francisco.
Yeah.
So
what does that mean? Who's to say if he didn't come here, he would have been lights out? I mean, I still like Walker.
Could have gotten him in a lab.
Yeah, right. Right.
Hey, I'm just saying, I'm happy with what we got. But the point I wanted to make is, I think a lot of people talk rightfully so about our pitching when it comes to our starters. But I do just want to highlight what Stearns has done in the bullpen as well. Reed Garrett came over from Baltimore with a 12 ERA. Max Kranick in Pittsburgh had a 10 ERA. We lost Minter and Danny Young right off the start, and now we've got Jose Castillo, who I'd never heard of with Arizona, with a 9 ERA, and he hasn't given up a run in his first 8 innings. Like, you know, all the attention goes to the starters, but Stearns being able to, as well, outside of Edwin, keep our relievers cheap and performing is a really underrated aspect that doesn't go unnoticed for me. And he's really clearly shown that, you know, these relievers that maybe get DFA'd on other teams or at the deadline, I'm sure he's going to go after guys at the deadline that maybe are underperforming just a little bit that he can tweak. Cause I truly believe our big addition at the deadline to really take us over the top is one more high leverage guy to go along with Diaz.
Matt, can I throw something at you?
Yeah.
Because it's an interesting thought. I would think, and it doesn't mean that I'm right, but I would think the true value of the lab that the Mets have would be realized when you've got months to work with them. Like, I don't know, Sal, if you pick a guy, it doesn't mean it can't work out, but if you pick a guy off the scrap heap and you throw him right out there on a major league mound without any tweaks and changes, do you see the result that you might get if he's there in spring training and
right
down there in February? I don't know. I don't know if that's...
I think it's at a point now where when the Mets, they just did this too the other day, they acquired Justin Garza from the Giants in exchange for cash considerations. Whenever the Mets make a move, same thing you saw about Castillo when they got the lefty from the Diamondbacks, whatever. When they make a move now,
yep,
it's almost like, oh, okay, this guy that they identified that sucked wherever he was before, that the numbers were bad, they're going to turn him into a viable, useful arm. That's where I'm at with the Stearns and Hefner and Mets lab regime.
So it's just the unwavering faith in a major aspect of the team. Oh, I mean, right now, there's no evidence to push back on that.
Doesn't mean that every time, well, every guy they get's going to be good.
That doesn't happen for anybody.
Right, but there it goes to me now. It's not like, oh, what are they going to do with this guy? It's more, oh, I know what they're going to do. They see something that they identify in this reliever,
mm-hmm,
who another team couldn't maximize. They'll take on the money or give up money to get him, and they're going to... If anybody could get something out of him, it's going to be the Mets. I don't think that anybody can turn any other pitcher better than what the Mets have done. The Yankees have done a great job with this for a long time.
I think Cashman, that's his greatest thing.
Correct.
The bullpen.
They've done this for a long time. Stearns and the Mets have now entered the conversation.
Yeah, I think a lot of ways there are just certain teams, you know, with even college, like that are just known, like Penn State linebacker you or, you know, whatever it might be. There's so many different variations from so many different timelines here, but it's not that dissimilar, and I think you'll appreciate this. Like, the Knicks, specifically Pat Riley, had a penchant for identifying players that had nomadic basketball existences, whether it's jumping around from college to college or the lower levels of the CBA back then, the CBA played the minor leagues. Starks, Mason, the Knicks were very good at identifying that and finding what fit their system from a defensive perspective. The Mets right now have a good, keen sense on going out and getting these arms and fit. I don't know how the hell they're doing it. You know, we've read some stories, we've talked about it, but it's undeniably a strength right now. Stearns has been great at that.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Back to the Knicks. Ronald is calling from Inwood, New York. What's up, Ronald?
Yes. What's up is that the Knicks, I love the direction that they're going.
Well, okay, go ahead.
Which is what?
Yeah, we're a little confused where they're going right now. Go ahead, buddy.
You know why? It just, I'm sick of the Knicks. People say that the Knicks is a curse. Is no, they're not. I know, and New York fans, we can't. Like, this is why the owners won't show their face to the New York fans. because we can't handle it. We'll go crazy. And then I know if we win a championship, the New York Post is going to say it only took a certain amount of years for us to win a chip. Like, we're never satisfied.
Whoa, Ronald, hold on, though. Let's not ignore the facts. The facts are the Knicks haven't won a title in over 50 years. The facts are they were one of the worst franchises in the NBA for 25 years, the better part of 25 years. So where exactly are you getting that everybody's out to get them as opposed to dealing with the facts that they have sucked for the majority of our existence and their existence, as a matter of fact?
Yes. And what I want to say to that is,
yes.
Hey, I can't really argue with you on that one, but what I am going to say to just finish it off mm-hmm. is that we got a great player in Brunson. We're playoff bound, basically. And I hear people saying that we're going to the play-in. We're not going to the play-in. We're
I don't hear anybody saying that, man. I don't think anybody's anticipating that kind of regression, and thank you for the call. Now, there's multiple stops along the highway before you get from, all right, are they playoff bound to they're going to win the championships and they're favored to, I mean, there's a lot in between. I mean, they're not going to be favored to win the championship unless they get like Giannis or whatever, and nobody's sitting here thinking they're going to be, you know, in the play-in game next year. But what the next move is, we don't know. And the next move is not just going to be the coach. There's going to be a tweaking of the roster, whether Josh Hart's traded, whether Deuce is traded as part of a bigger pack, whether Mitchell Robinson is rerouted. Like, there's going to be a new player or two plus a new coach. So we got to see.
See, I think that would be – that's where I say where this first move, when you break up something that was working to a high extent, a high level, almost the highest of level, but not quite there. When you break that up, that's a little crack in the foundation. Now the other stuff, if you don't get right, it's going to all come crumbling down. Like, I would not trade Josh Hart. We didn't even discuss that. I don't know if that's a realistic possibility or not. I would not do it because now you're getting rid of the coach that the star player loved. And now you'd be getting rid of his best bud that he's been productive here. Maybe lessening his role or having him come off the bench. Yeah, that's fine.
And I think he'd be okay with it, by the way. I don't think he's going to resist.
I would be shocked if they traded Josh Hart. But again, to me, it all starts with who the next head coach is going to be. If it's Jason Kidd, I think you're going to see for the – now, again, who knows with Giannis and all that stuff and their history there. Outside of a major trade like that, a major move, that would have comings and goings. Like, you're not getting Giannis and keeping the same core intact.
No, you got to give something back to get him.
Yeah, so there's going to be – and I think it would be more than Mitch and Deuce McBride.
So do I.
It's going to hurt. And look, bringing in ancillary pieces, that's easier to me. The big piece here, certainly the next big piece, but I think the big piece overall is – who the hell is going to be the head coach of this basketball team that is coming off one of the more successful periods in the history of the franchise
yep.
that took them to within 6 wins of the ultimate goal? Who's going to be the next head coach here?
Well, it's probably going to be Jason Kidd, I would think. But until we get that answer, that's the money question. And the other thing, too, is, guys, while it seems daunting to find pieces that will fit and eventually elevate the Knicks, think about how quickly they got their hands on Dante DiVincenzo and Hartenstein a couple of years ago, and they elevated. So I think we're focused on the Giannises and the Durants, and the answer probably lies with somebody who was a lesser-known commodity, but a better fit.
Yeah, that's the key. Fitting to this team and getting them to another level. Dave is calling from Maplewood, New Jersey. What's up, David?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Hope you had a nice weekend.
You too.
You just discussed my question, was that is Josh Hart a keeper or a giver?
I'm much more open to having Josh Hart move on, though I don't want to give him away, and I'm not trying to get him out of here. I am not married to Josh Hart being on the team next season myself. Can't shoot.
Okay. What's his contract? I don't even know what
he's got. 3 years to go, I want to say. I think he signed for 19 or 20. I'm going to double check. He's got a couple years to go. Not crazy money. You can trade him.
I would not be looking to move Josh Hart. First and foremost, I think he's a useful player. And I think he got... You and I went back and forth about this a little bit. I think Josh Hart was getting unfairly criticized. I'm not saying he had a great series against Indiana because he didn't, but Josh Hart, like, think about all the work that he put in since being a Knick, the effort that he gives every single night, the productivity that you've gotten from him the majority of the time. He's allowed one bad series. We know he's not a great shooter, and he turned the ball over too much in that series. I think Hart can be a valuable player still. And his rapport with Jalen Brunson is something that I'm not... When you start talking about potentially moving on from Hart, Now you're really on thin ice as far as the superstar goes.
And I just want to make the distinction. I'm not looking actively to trade Josh Hart. I'm just probably much more amenable than doing it than you are. I'm less concerned about the down-the-road kickback with Jalen Brunson's relationship. Mm. Because the other thing I've seen, too, is you know his game kind of translates more to the regular season where there's less focus on defense and he can get the ball and get his own rebound, initiate his own break, or get out on the break and, you know, finish the final 50 feet to the rim, which is what he's probably the best at here. And I do have his contract. Yeah. So I was pretty much right. $19 million next year, $20 million the year after that. And is that a player or then a team option? So they're in a good spot. I mean, listen, the thing about Josh Hart, both things could be true. We can want him to stay, but because he's a good, useful, purposeful player and his contract is actually pretty team-friendly, he could help get you something else that's better.
Yeah, well, and as much as I'm saying I want Josh Hart to be here, I mean, if he's a piece that's got to go in getting one of the star players that are available,
see,
you do it and you worry about, you know, Brunson. I mean,
it's callous, yeah. but I really, he's a guy we love. He has carved out like a relationship with the fans that outside of Jalen, no other Nick has. Like, it's deep.
I know for me, it took a long time, but I was like, man, Rodon, he keeps putting up big numbers, big start after big start. Just when I was really starting to turn the corner, my inner trust, not like logically speaking, my feel was like, hey, I can't be a fool anymore. I got to start to trust Carlos Rodon. Just when you get there, BT, he goes out there and has a bad outing like he did last night, giving the Red Sox some life.
He didn't look good, but he's been phenomenal for a while, so I'm going to give him a little reprieve here and obviously not crush him. He's a human being, not a robot. Now, in terms of getting that support, that faith, that ultimate confidence, that's only going to come for him in October. Like, there's nothing that he can do now that is going to elevate that feeling that I have that I don't fully trust him when the moment is huge. But we've also been on opposite end of the spectrum for him for a while, mm-hmm. where my confidence has always been more in him than you just in general, but not so much in the big spot because he's burned me too many times in the big spot. So I saw a stat last night, and I think one of the issues with Rodon, first of all, his attitude, and I don't think he was in great shape year one. He's rectified that, and you got to give him respect on that.
I mean, it's taken him 3 years.
I understand. Well, last year was better than you thought.
Better,
and we went back, and it wasn't amazing. But you listen, the guy did a lot of that, 180 strikeout, whatever. He did pretty well, but it wasn't like the two Cy Young-ish kind of seasons that he had before that. I saw a stat last night that Carlos Rodon, before last night, obviously, that was the best 9-start chunk consecutively in his career. And while he's been up and down, and that's part of the maddening aspect of Carlos Rodon, some ERAs, they were at 5, and some he was in the 2s. But he has pitched some high-level, undeniably brilliant baseball in his career at times. And to go through a 9-game span that he's never been better, I mean, he's having a hell of a season, last night aside.
And to me, when I start seeing 7 scoreless, 10 Ks, no walks, those are ace-like.
Oh, my God.
You know, with him, it's always been something, whether it's the walks, whether it's a few runs, mm-hmm. whether it's maybe going 5 or 6 innings or whatever it may be. He has put it together for the most part this year and been much more what the Yankees thought that they were paying for when they signed him a few years ago. But you can minimize last night, not you personally, but people can minimize last night's game. It's just, it was a regular season game in June. I think it was more important than that. That was a big rubber game last night. When you're I think the Red Sox are the only legit threat to the Yankees within the division. I know the standings don't say that.
Mm.
I don't believe in the Rays. I don't believe in the Blue Jays. I do believe Boston's going to turn it around. And that was a spot last night with Carlos Rodon on the mound. He's not your ace because of Max Fried, but he's been one of your best pitchers this year. You just mentioned the 9-game stretch. You need him to go out there and shut it down, and he didn't. He got a lead, and you saw old Rodon a little bit, the walks, and then he let it get away from him, then giving up the big home run.
The issue with Carlos Rodon in the past is when there's some guys who come out there, and initially you could tell right away he doesn't have his stuff. That's not really Rodon. The thing that's driven me, not nuts, because I've been more pro-Rodon than against Rodon since he got, although the first year I was all over him, like everybody was, is that there's nights where he looks like he's got no hit stuff. And, you know, whether it's a playoff game or a big game down the stretch where all of a sudden it eludes him and he implodes. And it's like, wow, I didn't see that coming at all. You were dealing for 3, 4, 5 innings and all of a sudden the bloop and a walk and now we got a blast and it's 3 or 4 runs. Like, what happened? That's my concern with him. That's my fear. But again, I mean, the guy has been awesome this season. Last night aside, he was I wasn't good last night.
Yeah, and I'm not going to go nuts the other way on Rodon because I do think he's been, not I do think, he has been much better this year. I still just don't trust him. And here's why. At my core, and we've had this conversation many times in our 2+ years together, whatever it's been, I value consistency more than I do high-end stuff. That one game could look like an ace, lights out, 10 Ks, no walks, you know, whatever, 7 innings. I value the consistent, give me 5-6 innings, 2 runs every single time, or the majority of time,
yep,
versus that. Like, I'll give an example, Griffin Canning. What Griffin Canning has done this year, I value more. Now, it's a short, or a small sample size. Clay Holmes, you want to throw him in? Any of the Mets guys that don't have the stuff, they don't have, outside of maybe Senga, the Mets starters do not have the stuff that Rodon does. They're not going 7 or 8 scoreless, 10 Ks, no walks. Yeah. Like they're just not capable of doing that. I'd rather, though, the guy that goes 5 or 6 innings gives me 2 runs every single time out, because that's going to give me a chance to win more often than not, and it's reliable. There's a trust factor there, and okay, no, I'm not getting a dominant type start, but I'm going to get a solid start that's going to help me win a ball game.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's a lot of different ways to accrue a lot of different wins and be a successful starter. Let's have a little fun here. So you brought up a few Mets, well, Canning obviously, and Holmes.
Yeah.
So if we were to build out a New York rotation right now, 1 through 5, let's get after it. You ready?
Yeah.
So number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4, number 5. Hoff, if you want to jump in and help us out here, safe to say Fried to top right now. We go Fried 1. All right, this is for both the Yankees and the Mets. Who's the second best? Who's the number 2 guy?
Well, let's just go healthy right now.
All right.
Right.
Yeah, obviously, forget about Cole, forget about Heal, forget Manaea, about them, but forget about Manaea. No, okay. Do we go...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Peterson.
Not 2.
Canning. I'm just writing them down. So
Senga. Schmidt. Disappointed a little bit here. Forget about Will Warren.
Holmes.
Just throwing names out.
Yeah. No, I mean...
Before last night, you could probably make the case it would be Fried and Rodon 1-2, and then a Met 3-4-5.
Yeah.
Right?
I would probably go, yeah, I guess before last night. Now, I still don't trust Rodon, so I wouldn't have put him there. But, yeah, I mean, you look at what the Mets, and look, it's not like the Yankees' rotation has been bad. You're not taking Yarbrough, though. You saw him get...
No, God, no.
And even with that, I would probably go, I guess, who would be my first Met? See, they're all...
It's got to be Senga. He's got a 1.7 ERA.
I don't know, but I don't know if I would... I don't know. They're all kind of the same. Right? Guys who are going to give you 5-6 innings.
Except Fried and Rodon a little bit.
That's what I'm saying. So Fried would be the clear number 1 of this.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, maybe Senga. I think I might go Peterson. Peterson is nasty.
Well, I've always liked him. I don't know if I like him enough to put him 2 in this conversation, but I've always been a... I think he's got good stuff. I've always been a Peterson fan. All right, how about this?
So you would take Rodon second?
I mean, maybe if not 2-3. What would be interesting is if you had Gerrit Cole and you had Manaea and both of those guys are healthy and Luis Gil. But then again, you'd probably go
Fried and Cole.
Fried and Cole.
Yeah. It doesn't mean that. See, but the Mets overall, while there's not one guy that sticks out, like I don't think you... If I said I'd take Peterson or you said you'd take Holmes or vice versa, or I said Senga, like I don't think you could go wrong. Canning, you might not take, but I mean, I love the guy.
He's been terrific.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Dude, they pitch. That's what they do. Griffin Canning, a guy who had a 5 ERA a year ago, goes and attacks Aaron Judge. He goes and attacks Shohei Ohtani. He's not afraid of him.
Yeah.
Not nibbling. He just goes right at him. And the Mets pitch, they pitch to their strengths and maybe opponents' weaknesses, whatever it is that they're doing. When you see a guy that had a 5 ERA a year ago go attack Judge and beat him the way that he did with Griffin Canning, and the same thing with Shohei Ohtani. I mean, that I don't know how you get more impressive than that.
Are there more? I don't know. Maybe I'm a prisoner of the moment here with the Canning stuff and some others, but because we just talked about Rodon. Rodon's had ERAs of 5, and now he's under 3. Does it seem like there's more fluctuations in baseball now than when we were young? Like, I think great hitters didn't didn't go from, I'm talking about when we were kids, go from like 303 average to 242 with frequency, nor did I, and I'm sure it happened, but nor do I remember guys going, you know, from being among the best pitchers in baseball to having a 5+ ERA.
Right, or vice versa.
Or vice versa, yeah. True.
Yeah.
Do you feel that? Even without any evidence to prove it?
I do feel like there's more inconsistency in today's game. I felt that for a while.
So do I.
Yeah. But, I mean, look, what the Mets have done with their pitching has been consistent. Yanks, too, for the most part. Also, then you throw in the value of the rotation, whereas, you know, the Yankees paid a lot for Cole and Fried and Rodon, and the Mets are getting very similar, if not better, production. And not to make it a Met-Yankee thing, but obviously...
Well, they spent the money wisely, man. There's no doubt.
To me, it's... Again, I'm the one who came on the air and be like, Mets rotation just isn't it. Coming into the year, it's not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been the best rotation in baseball.
I'm looking forward to seeing Manaea come back. I want to see if he's the same exact guy.
He's my favorite of the bunch because I think he's got, even more than Senga, the potential to be a true ace, what we saw a year ago.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Boost Mobile. Reliable nationwide coverage for $25 monthly.
Yankees owe me an apology. I'm scrolling through his social media the other night.
Yeah.
And I see on the Yankees verified account, when the bat meets the ball and goes over the wall, that's a Volpe. Hmm. And then they got the little, Tommy Cutlets thing, the emoji that bothers some Italians.
I think it's stupid. But
so, whatever. I do too. We all know where this started.
See what John in Massapequa Park has to say about this, John.
BT, I was listening when a caller called up and said the exact song, and you changed one word on it and claimed it as your own.
What show did he call?
He called your show.
I don't recall.
I don't remember that. And what word did
I remember it because it burned me up that you claimed it as your own when it wasn't your own. And then when someone finally called in and said, oh, no, the guy who actually did it called in and said, oh, that was my line. And you go, oh, yeah, but I changed it one word.
What word did I change?
I don't remember exactly, but I think this was back when you were with Tiki.
Oh, that's a technicality. I don't remember the Tiki days.
Yeah. Thank you for the cold shot.
This is PT. This is post-Tiki.
Yeah, that was all BS before Sal. Yeah, I don't recall that. It might have happened with us. It doesn't make sense that it would have happened with Tiki because weren't you doing it for the call, like what you would do? Unless it was...
No.
I don't know anymore.
When Volpe was coming up, John was still doing the call. They were trying to find a call for John to use.
Okay.
And you came up with... Well, the quote with a line.
I just found it. I was spending the... I just found it. It is from March 29th, 2023. You want to hear it?
Yes.
I don't think that's what it was.
What's up, Will?
I got an idea for John Sterling's home run call for Volpe if nobody brought one.
Hold on. Let's set the stage. We've got the initial Sterling Volpe call. Here's the 2-2 to Volpe. Go ahead, take it away, Will. What do you got?
When his bat hits the ball and goes over the wall, that's a Volpe.
It didn't start out too good. When the bat hits the ball and goes over the wall, that's a Volpe.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that was that's AI right there is what that is. I honestly don't remember that.
Well, I certainly don't because I was on the overnight at the time.
I do not remember that. March 29th.
What was the caller's name?
But then hold on a second.
Yeah. Willie.
What was his name?
Willie.
So, again, my recollection of that was jointly made up with the Verdugo. So, how do you do?
Maybe,
like, that was all one part of it with you.
Right. Now, which was last year.
Yes.
So now this did happen 3 years ago.
I don't remember it.
So maybe just subconsciously as it happened at the time, you had some fun. And then when you were giving your calls last year, you thought that you came up with it. But maybe you'd heard it before.
I don't think that's how it went down.
You know what? I actually remember what happened, too, because I believe...
You were here for it off.
Oh, I do. I actually do know very well, which is why I went searching for that so hard. The next day, we do the live appearance at Hard Rock, and we have Sterling on, and you gave a suggestion of what he should do. I don't have this clip, but I'll find it.
I remember that.
You gave Sterling that call. And you said, hey, I have one for you.
Why?
Okay.
So you took ownership the day after.
It was a nice assist by, what was his name, Walter?
Willie.
Willie. It was a nice assist by Willie. And
Willie?
BT, you and Willie should be looking for royalties from the Yankees.
I don't remember that from Willie. I feel like that's doctored. I don't trust Top on that.
Dude, I went to the annals of WFAN sure law.
Because I heard some familiar music. I'm like, oh, Hoff has checked out for the day. And that dope was just playing whatever random music. And that's because Hoff, I guess, was digging for this. Wow, that's a great find.
A little change, though. So isn't that the point? Is it?
What was the word that changed from you? I don't recall.
When the bat, what did I say? It was early, I think. If that's even real.
Let's hear it again, just take it all in from Willie.
God.
How you doing, fellas? How you doing?
What's up, Will?
I got an idea for John Sterling's home run call for Volpe if nobody brought one
up. Hold on. Let's set the stage. We've got the initial Sterling Volpe call. Here's the 2-2 to Volpe. Go ahead, take it away, Will. What do you got?
When his bat.
All right, see, I got it. I didn't say his. I never said when his bat.
Oh, I know.
I never said
what'd
that.
You say?
When the bat hits the ball.
Now, and the good goes news is for you. Yeah.
The wall. Developer.
You took it to another level.
Oh, yeah.
The good news is, by the sound of it, and I'm not sure if this is the case or not, it doesn't sound like Will, maybe he's not with us any longer.
Why would you say that?
Well, I'm just saying it was 3 years ago.
Did he die?
Well, I don't know. A lot could happen in 3 years. He sounded older.
Maybe he moved. He might have moved somewhere else.
And now you could take ownership of that. See, the real shame of it is that the Verdugo call was your best call. That was clearly
that was a good one.
Yeah, and he's no longer with us.
And you put me on the spot with that, too. Yeah. I came up with that one on the spot.
That was a good one. How do you...
And Verdugo does it. Now the Yankees take a 3-2 lead.
Either way, let's get BT back in the Yankee booth when...
That's the whole point of this...
Let's finish up on the phone.
Confusion.
888-808-1019.
I still don't believe that's real. I don't know. He knows too many technical tricks back there.
It's AI.
That's what I'm saying.
That's AI.
I don't trust it.
AI. All right. Joe is calling from Astoria. What's up,
it's
Joe?
My only out.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Joe.
Maybe I should record this call just in case you make this in the future. Have it for my record.
Yeah. Go ahead, Joe. We're good.
Yeah. Just going back to Big Pete. I think the thing that's interesting about Pete is he's having a great year this year, but probably the most remarkable thing is how amazing he's been with driving runners in, runners in scoring position. I mean, the rest of the team has been awful with runners in scoring position, and Pete's been the one guy that you've been able to rely on this whole season. And I don't have his numbers in front of me, but I got to assume that in a bunch of his prior years, I mean, he's been knocking in, several years, knocking in 120 RBIs, 130 RBIs. You don't get that when you bat 200 with runners in scoring position, you know?
Yeah.
And obviously he had, forget the COVID year, he pretty much had a terrible year last year. But outside of last year, I mean, he's been prolific at driving in runs, and that's what you want for your number 3 and 4 hitter, you know?
Correct. And this year, Joe, and thank you for the call, this year, a big difference is going to be the guys getting on in front of him, obviously, with Soto being the new addition here. But last year, it was two down years in a row, BT. That's where the focal point was with Alonso. Prior to that, there was never any dispute about what Pete Alonso was. We all know how great a home run hitter he's been throughout the course of his career. 2 years ago, he hit .217.
Yep.
That's unacceptable. Like, you can't go from hitting .260 to hitting .217.
No.
The power numbers were there, but hitting .217 is not what made Pete special. What made him special that he was not Adam Dunn. He was going to hit .260 or .270 and hit homers. And then last year, while the average came up, he only had 88 ribbies, which for Pete is not good.
Yeah, but the average didn't come up enough for me to think that he truly dispelled that was a one-year outlier. And you know what I mean?
I think he was awful in situational hitting, runners in scoring position.
He was. I just found this. This was 3 or 4 days ago. Obviously, a big weekend in Colorado.
Yeah.
You know, get those stats even prettier. So I've got the updated NL MVP odds here. Otani's 1, Pete Crow Armstrong 2.
Jeez.
Corbin Carroll, how about that?
Yeah, yeah.
Corbin Carroll 3, Tatis 4, Tucker 5, Freeman 6, Alonso 7.
That was because of, well, I was going to say.
And then Lindor 8, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, is it because they're stealing votes with, you got Lindor there, and maybe there's a Soto impact there?
No, because there's
War's
two.
War's low, Hoff is saying. The war is very low, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, Alonso's war is really low, and meanwhile, Otani, who hasn't seen a lick of the freaking field, is out there, and his war is like 1,000.
Yeah, well, it would, I mean, I don't know about that, but it wouldn't be the splitting of votes or stealing, because Pete Crow, Armstrong, and Tucker are teammates.
Yep.
And they're both top five. Yeah, Pete's, I mean, I would put a little bit of money on Pete finishing a little higher than 7 at this point.
Yeah, either way, I don't care. See, I'm not one of these fans who gets caught up in the individual, even the home run thing. Like, yeah, that's all right, great. Good for Pete Alonso. It means more to Pete Alonso than it does for me to the fans. But maybe some fans get into that, the ultimate home run record. I care about team success. I want to see the team win. Now, I like great players along the way, and I think we're watching the three greatest players. When all's said and done, in my opinion, these will be the three greatest position players the Mets have ever had. Lindor, Soto, Alonso. I really believe that. And we're watching them all at once. So I'm happy for Alonso. Hope he goes and gets that record. I don't care about the MVP, although it would be nice for the Mets to actually have an MVP because they haven't had one in their history. But it really, as long as the Mets won the World Series, I don't care who wins the MVP.
Lindor showed you, but think about how that would complicate the Mets' negotiations with Pete if he does win the MVP.
Dude, I am just like last year, but even more so. We were both fascinated to see what the market.
Yeah.
We knew what we thought, and we knew what the Mets thought.
Uh-huh.
We were curious.
And we were right, by the way.
Correct. We were curious to see what the market said Pete Alonso was worth.
Yeah.
I'm very curious to see. I'm sure there's going to be an uptick from the Mets' perspective. I don't know what it's going to be from around baseball. If they believe that this is legitimate, how much of it is because of Soto? I think a lot of it is just legit. The numbers would say that Pete Alonso's done this before. He's just had two bad years or two down years in a row. Outside of the batting average, everything else would line up with Pete Alonso's career.
The truth of the matter is the answer is really tied into the analytics here, because that will give somebody a truer read on. You talk about like expected slugging and all that stuff that nobody wants to talk about now. I get it. But there's an ability to do a deeper dive on Pete's year this year. And I think it's going to be a true representation of the year he's having. Not like, well, he's gotten a little lucky. And there are years where you have a higher batting average than maybe some of the numbers say that you should. But that's where the rest of the league will get their answer on Pete, whether they want to add an extra year or two or an extra $3-5 million on any potential free agent signing. They'll have those numbers.
Yeah, and I'm sure that the Mets already have looked at those numbers. All right, Ray is in Waterbury. What's up, Ray?
Guys, great show as usual.
Thank you, Ray.
Thanks, Ray.
Two Met points. First of all, I think Atlanta's not catching us this year. So we haven't played them yet. I'm not going to put the jinx on the Mets. Long as they keep them at arm's bay.
The Braves are done.
You know, play 500 ball, and they won't catch us. And the other thing is, this Ronnie Mauricio is the real deal. I think he's better than the other ones that they brought up.
Yeah, he's exciting to watch, Ray, and thank you for the call. And he hasn't even gotten going yet, but
he's huge.
He's got that
he's big boy
length. He's got that talent. I like
swag.
His energy. Yeah.
I mean, he crushed. When I got to give Hoff some credit here, even though he just created something that made me look bad there. I remember I mentioned Tiki. I think if this came up with Tiki, this is how long ago it was. We talked about the prospects, and Mauricio was the one that you had the most intrigued with.
Yeah, he's the one I'm in love with, 100%.
I remember that. Over every one of them. Every one of them. Even Alvarez.
I believe I was the first one to say that. So Hoff may have gotten... I was the first one to say that Mauricio was going to be...
Did you say that?
Change the word, though.
Oh, yeah.
He actually heard me the day before, the then used it on... See, I wasn't on air at that time as much, so... That's why
right.
you found
keep
it.
Having a Yo, keep doing this to me. You're not going to be on the air on this show at all.
I must say, he did a lot of work retrieving that.
Yeah, it's the only work he's done all day.
But you did do this to yourself.
What do you mean I did it to myself?
You were taking ownership of a call that a caller...
Well, because the Yankees used the words that I used, not the words that the callers used. If they didn't write when his bat...
I can't believe that a caller... Hey, you know what? Loyal caller, a loyal listener right there. Guy who called in and said, BT, I got to call you out for it.
Yeah.
He was listening every day knowing that that happened, that a caller called in, and then since then you've been taking ownership.
Yeah, I'm not going to go on Twitter much today.
Sure, you're going to get buried for that one. Ah, it's all right. It's all in good fun.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.